Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Faceoff win, final seconds of the power play for Pittsburgh. That one overshot Crosby. Now it's Malkin. Malkin down. Crosby to the front for Malkin. Save me. Rebound scores! Number 500!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Garrett kicks the swing and a high fly ball, well struck. Left field. That one back. That one on its way, and that one is gone. Kike Hernandez has done it again in the postseason. A two-run homer, and the Dodgers have doubled their lead. It is 4-0. He is something else in the playoffs.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
8 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of game three. 4 seconds. Ionescu will heave. And hit! And hit! Sabrina Ionescu with the biggest shot in Liberty history.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
I made sure that I got in on time.
Ready to go.
All 10 of my alarms going off.
Beep, 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 beep. I'm not 10. I'm 3. I'm a 3-alarm guy.
You're only 3?
I'm a 3-alarm guy. About 10 minutes apart, maybe, give or take. First one's like, all right, you need to get up, but I know I'm not going to get out of bed. Second one's like, dude, get your ass out of bed. Third one's like, you got to get out because it's time to go to work.
So I have an Alexa alarm. I've got a standard clock radio alarm, and I've got two on my phone.
You go standard clock radio alarm?
Well, it's not like a traditional 90s clock radio. It's like,
what station do you set it to? What do you got?
It doesn't do a station. It's like a Zen one. It has like a light orange hue light that goes and like brightens up.
It sounds like it's more relaxing than it is waking up. It sounds tranquil, man.
It's actually not.
A warm stone that gets rubbed on your back too in the process. Maybe
nice.
The sound of a waterfall as well.
It does.
A gong playing.
So that's
in the
noise. It's a waterfall.
Dude, that's putting me right back to sleep.
But it's not a waterfall that like is relaxing. It just like imagine dead silence and then this.
Niagara Falls. Nothing
yes.
to Niagara Falls.
Nothing to Niagara Falls.
And that's how you wake up. Ha! Ha! I'm falling down a waterfall.
I have to hit it immediately. I actually hate it. I'm like, no. Shut up. Shut up.
The problem when you have a spouse is that when you wake up so early, it leads to an immediate turn off of the alarm. But sometimes that doesn't translate to fully being awake because I feel bad about waking them up.
Mm.
And so I'm always like quickly like, you get it. Get it. And then, but it doesn't quite fully hit my brain that it's time to get out of bed.
Well, last night was a weird one. So I've been eating pretty healthy lately.
Look at you.
And yesterday, I think I ate something a little questionable. And I'll cite Dan Lanning, who was on 1080 yesterday with primetime.
He was.
And he has this opinion that being sick is a choice.
Yep. It's
which
choice.
Is a very football bro thing to say. We know sometimes that's not true.
Right.
But he lives in the world where it is. And last night, I got woken up at 10:15 because I thought I was legitimately going to throw up.
10:15 last night.
And I'm like, I race up, I go to the restroom, I've fallen asleep for 45 minutes. I'm like, oh no.
This is wonderful. I'm sure you fell right back to sleep and felt perfectly fine.
Dude, I was in the bathroom for about a half hour, and it was like a dance between me and my body of this is not coming up, this is going down.
Yeah.
No, we're not coming up, we're going down.
You have mind over matter. Look at you with the power over your body to tell it, we're not throwing up right now. I don't feel like putting my head in a toilet.
And I won. Because I'm like, I'm not missing tomorrow's show because of this.
Yes.
Whatever this is, an avocado piece, maybe some ground beef that's too greasy.
Do we know the culprit? Have we been able to single it out? Could have been anything.
Could have been, I mean, I had avocado, beef, green pepper, onion, that's all, and rice. That was all I ate. That was my dinner.
It's kind of all over the map. I did see we're recalling a bunch of meat right now. We got a bunch of bad meat on the market.
I did not know that. Yeah. So that's good to know.
So if it could have been, it could have been the meat. That would be my guess.
So I had this dance, and then I kept hearing his voice. This is really disgusting.
This is a choice, right? This is a choice, right?
It's a choice, right? Yes, Dan. Yes, help me fight this.
Yes.
Thank you, Dan.
Did we lose our, I'll show it to you. I don't know if we have that one up there
Thank you, Dan.
I'm with you, Dan. I'm going to be in at work tomorrow, buddy. I'm going to be in there, man. It's not going to take me down. The worst is when you have to have some sort of bodily function go down. Usually for me, it's coming out the other end, but sometimes you get woken up at like 11 o'clock at night and it's an emergency and you kind of roll over and it's like, oh, I got it. This is bad. I got to go right now.
Not great.
And you get up and then it takes you a while and then you're just fully awake. Then it's just like there's no resetting back after that. I can like keep my eyes somewhat closed if I have to pee in the middle of the night. You kind of keep the lights off. You hope you're hitting the back of the toilet, but your eyes are closed and you're just, all right, I can meander my way back to bed and fall to sleep. Having to upchuck or back chuck in the middle of the night, that's you're up for an hour and a half at that point.
Now, did you see he has 10 alarms that he has to use to wake up? Did you see the times in which he wakes up?
I did.
Is there any part of you, I don't know why, but when I saw the times he wakes up, Dan Lanning, his alarm is set for like 4:44, 4:35.
They were all random times too. It was like 4:37. You're like, all right, that's weird.
But I looked at him and I went, I wake up before you.
Look at that. Softy Lanning. Huh?
I work a coach's schedule. I could be a coach.
I'm up at all hours of the night, man. I'm up recruiting. I got to get my calls in at 5 o'clock in the morning. Who are recruiting to be on the show today? Scouting out the topics, getting the audio. We're grinding out here.
Well, all my different alarms are only off by 2 minutes.
You go 2 minutes.
Because I want two alarms going off at the same time in case one is a default. Like,
it's chaos. Absolute chaos.
It is a little bit of chaos. My wife sleeps through them somehow.
That is, you found yourself a champ there. If she can sleep through the alarms and not be woken up and give you the dirty side eye look at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, 4 a.m. is a very weird time if you think about it. It usually, if you look at your sleep schedules, like people have these watches where you can track your sleep.
Yes.
What is it? REM sleep?
REM sleep.
Where it's like the deepest your sleep is.
Yeah, the deep sleep cycle.
It's usually in that 3 to 4 a.m. range. So I think that's usually when she's in her REM sleep.
So nothing's going to wake her up. You're going to have a sledgehammer go off. Yeah. I'm that way. And it must not be my REM sleep because I don't wake up. And I feel bad about this. I have for the last 9 months. I never wake up to the kid crying.
I never did either.
And I don't know
why. My wife
why.
Hated me for that.
I don't know why.
Like, it's not a choice. I'm a deep sleeper. What do you want me to do?
It's not my fault. And then I wake up in the morning and I, you know, sometimes she is already, like, I get up at 6 and he's already been up, fed, been up for like an hour and a half, and then back to sleep. And I roll over and I'm like, is he still sleeping? And she looks at me like, are you kidding me right now? I've been up since 4:30. Like, on a weekend, this happens from time to time. I don't know what you want from me. I can't hear him cry. If I can't hear it, I'm not going to wake up. I can't set a mental alarm to whenever he's going to cry, I'm going to get up.
Yeah, that's the thing is you fall asleep. If you're a deep sleeper, it's like, I don't know what to do here. You're mad at me, but
it's not my fault.
I mean, you can wake me up,
yes.
But then it's like, well, what's the point of me waking you up? I'm already awake. You're like, well, then why are you getting mad at me?
That's exactly how it goes. I'm like, why don't you just wake me up if you want some help? Ah, wasn't worth it anyways. And then why am I in trouble? I'm just trying to sleep, man. Let me sleep over here.
It's always a grind.
We're going through that right now with the little guy, too, because I don't know if his sleep cycles are getting different or it's because he's eating more actual food, which, by the way, is just terrifying. Them eating food is terrifying me.
What do you mean?
I'm always worried about him choking and getting a clob of something down the throat. And you're just, you know, I'm on him like a hawk. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm too paranoid about that. But he's also doing more and more sleeping on his stomach now. And he will wake up like from a dead sleep, sleeping on his stomach, and just start screaming. Like, not quite realizing how I got here and what is happening. How do I turn over? Oh, yeah. And you just, yesterday, he slept for like 20 minutes dead straight in a nap. Didn't make a sound, didn't make a movement. And I'm editing a podcast, and all of a sudden, I just hear on the monitor, ah! And I'm like, what is happening, dude? Are you okay? Finally fell back asleep after a while, but he's going through the REM sleep right now, too.
Are you, so you're like dicing his food up? Into chunks that are like
3 meals a day.
Tiny.
Man. Little tiny pieces.
Tiny pieces.
Tiny pieces. We're getting in little slices of bread right now. He's digging the bread.
Yeah.
We got these little like stick things that melt in your mouth or like, I don't know how to explain them, but he loves those things. He gnaws on them. Little strawberries. He kind of gnaws on the strawberries.
You know what's weird is I hear what you're saying about being scared of him choking, but I had the opposite as a parent. I don't want my kid to choke, but I also was like, if you're going to be a functional human who grows and lives a long life, you should be able to kind of figure out how to swallow your food.
We did have a paternity test the other night because I made steak for dinner on Sunday. I think I grilled a steak and I had a little broccoli on the side. And so we cut a little sliver of the steak and was like, I can gnaw on this and see how it goes. Tried to give him the broccoli first, wanted nothing to do with the broccoli. Just throw it away. Dog's eating it off the floor, wants nothing to do with it. Give him the steak and he's just... just sucking on that thing and gnawing on that thing.
So why are you doing a paternity test?
That was the paternity test. It was just to confirm, just in case. He's anti-broccoli. He's pro-ribeye. And that was a proud dad moment.
The unfortunate thing is what he likes now is not what he's going to like in 2-3 years.
I'm totally screwed.
Could be the opposite.
Exactly.
Get rid of this steak. I'm a vegan.
Make me this, Dad. I don't want that anymore, Dad. Damn it! You're eating what I made you.
Well, the dietary stuff is just the worst part of all of the parenting.
Yes. Somebody said, I'm a 15 alarm. Alarm person set
15 alarms.
15 alarms set at random times. I don't usually hear the first couple and wake up somewhere in the middle of the 15 alarms.
See, that's the thing is I'm not a snooze guy. I can't be a snooze guy. Now, I have 4 alarms. What happens is I wake up usually to the first and I turn off the other alarms.
Yes.
The unfortunate days are the days I forget to do the Alexa because that one sometimes might be 2-3 minutes behind. And if I wake up and go to the restroom, I hear boom, 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 boom.
While you're in the bathroom.
No, 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 no.
I just hope you're not pooping at that point because that thing's going to be on a while.
Crack that door. Alexa, turn off that alarm.
You got to whisper it and Alexa could somehow hear you because she hears everything we say. And they're going to hold it against us in 40 years when the robots take over.
Yes, they absolutely will.
Oh, remember what you said about this person? Oh, crap. I don't remember that at all.
You weren't very nice to this Alexa when you slept in a little bit too much.
10 is a bit extreme. I think 4 is even a bit extreme, to be honest with you.
You go
you
2?
You got 2?
Yep. Phone and a old clock radio.
Are they set for the same time or different
times?
No,
one's about 5 minutes after the other.
Just in case you fail safe?
But I'm more usually wake up like...
on the first one, right?
No, like 15, 20 minutes before it goes off. And I roll over and look at my clock and I'm like,
I gotta get up anyways. Yeah. Might as well just get up now.
What time does that alarm say on your clock when you turn over?
Usually like 4:10.
4:10, yeah.
Yeah, mine's 4:06.
Like, oh, well.
Oh, God.
Here we go again. All right.
Suck it up, Dan Lanning.
Yeah, Dan, let's
go. Why don't you lose 40 minutes of sleep? Understand what this grind is like.
I did appreciate, though, the acknowledgement that he is a snooze button guy and that...
It sounded like it's very hard for him to get up.
Because I imagine there's a lot of late nights and the 4 o'clock alarms not feeling very good when you try and get up in the morning. Because he's one of those, like, sounds like how I do everything is how I do it, or how I do one thing is how I do everything. And he's minding all of his P's and Q's. And this is the one thing where he's acknowledged a weakness.
Yeah.
He doesn't like waking up in the morning. And it humanizes him because I'm exactly the same.
Well, the game day piece was interesting because he's shown walking out of his house to go in for his day. And he walks out of his house with a cup of coffee into his car. And I don't know if you noticed this. Go rewatch his face. He's got the sleep eyes.
Yes.
The I'm still half asleep. I can't believe I have to get up and go do this.
Some big old bags underneath those
just
eyes.
Just dead tired, like, oh, God, this coffee needs to get me going.
I'm ready for a beach.
Sometimes when he does those hits with Isaac and Souk, I feel like you can hear it in his voice, like, yeah, it's the end of the day. I still got to stay awake for the next 6 hours.
I'm going to bed at 6:30.
Does he have a scheduled
evening
nap, you think? Like, I know they practice and do most of their meetings in the morning, which is why.
I don't know if those coaches believe in that.
But I don't know.
Pro athletes do. They will nap every... like LeBron says he takes 1 to 2 naps a day. But their schedule is just
never stops.
Traveling with the Pilots with Terry Porter, he must have learned it in the NBA. That guy could go to sleep anywhere.
Like, well, I watched him coach. He slept during games.
He's napping on the sideline, too.
I mean, come on. That was the worst possible
Terry, are we calling a timeout here? Terry, what are we doing?
Well, I remember when Terry Porter, who won like four games in 5 years.
Are we calling a timeout, Terry?
Here's the situation.
What's going on over there?
I remember when Terry Porter got his kids two free scholarships. He just slept the whole time.
He just hears this at the end of the game.
It's over!
And he wakes up. Oh, all right. Good, all right. Good job, guys. All right, good effort tonight. Way to go.
We think.
And, oh, damn it, I'm going back to sleep. All right.
It's over!
No!
Yeah! We think.
Oh, we think. Oh, okay, all right.
Time to go back to bed, Terry. Go back to sleep, all right?
I don't think he naps. I think Dan Lanning, unfortunately, has to grind through it. I just wonder if,
like, somewhere he's like, all right, half hour, nobody bother
me. I bet he has, like,
a
quiet time. I could see him being like, just leave me alone in my office for, like, 30 minutes with no calls and, no, like, just get, yeah. Let me unplug.
Why power nap? I do 20, 25-minute interval naps.
I'm jealous of that. I can't do that.
I can't do that.
It's a great ability.
If I fall asleep, I'm out for, like, an hour and a half.
No. I get up, and I have an initial, like, no, you stay asleep, and then I get up, and I'm like, okay, that actually charged me up.
Felt
I'm ready
a little bit
to
better.
Go.
Yeah.
I watched the NBA Starting Five thing on Netflix, and Jimmy Butler is one of the athletes featured in it. And it's interesting. He's like hanging with his kids and he's pouring his own coffee. You know, he's got his big face coffee. He's like, oh yeah, it's my 6-1 of the day. Pretty proud of myself for making this one. Like, dude, I think he drinks like 9 of those a day.
6 coffees right out of the gate.
So that's not a napper, dude. If you're drinking that many, so if Lanning is drinking like more than 4 coffees or energy drinks in a day, he ain't napping.
That's the hard part, because I get done with the show and I'm usually so pumped full of coffee that there's no nap anywhere near then. And then when I'm after like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a no nap zone. I can't go down, because if I go down even for a 30-minute
danger
nap,
territory.
I will not be able to fall asleep.
Yeah, I hear that.
Can't have caffeine, can't nap too late.
All right, well, we're charged up, we're awake, we're here, we're ready to go.
Woo!
There is a lot. It's a dirty pull Thursday.
You're damn right it is.
I think we have a big pee-pee to look at.
We do.
Oh, my God.
We all kissed our sister in our big pee-pee last week.
Did we really?
We did. Everybody went 2-2.
Okay, well, we'll get to that coming up as I watch Drew Carney do the scariest thing that you could possibly put me in on live television, holding a giant snake.
I think we should have a reptile day on the show this summer.
I legitimately am not exaggerating. I will cry, and I will hate you, and I will not participate.
Is that the next show bet that we do? Have the loser has to hold a snake in the studio?
I'll be a bet welcher. Just give me the label the rest of my life. I'm not holding. Look at the size of this snake.
He's
you can't
trained.
See it on the radio.
They took out the poison. He's fine. He's just hanging out.
Well, pythons aren't poisonous. They just strangle you.
Constrictors.
Not gonna strangle you. He's
usually
fine.
They give him some sort of tranquilizer or something when they go pull these stunts.
We have a lot to get to today. We may have a guest at 7:30. I've kind of booked somebody.
TBD.
Had somebody say, yeah, I'd love to do it. I said, what's your number? They never responded.
That helps.
Okay.
Can't call you.
So we'll see how this goes. Let's get it going. A great moment for this person next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan on this Thursday morning. Big moment for this athlete yesterday. You were just waiting and waiting and waiting. And it was only a matter of time before that greatness showed itself. And Scoot Henderson needed Ohm to do it.
Did he have a good game last night?
He's 10 of 14, 23
Let's
points.
Go.
5 boards, 6 assists.
The
huh?
Germans don't stand a chance, just like WW2 all over again.
9-9-9-9. Get out of here.
He dominated Louisiana Monroe. I'm proud of him. Way to go, Scoot.
They did not cover the 36-point spread, though. They won by 8.
That was a 36-point spread?
Yeah.
There was gambling on that game. People gambled on that game.
Most people gambled against the Blazers in that game.
Seems like a pretty good bet.
Yeah, considering, you know, that German team was kind of hanging with them.
The only thing that I saw from the game last night, I did not see, because I don't believe it was on TV. I don't have League Pass.
Blazer Vision, brother.
I also don't have Blazer Vision.
Okay.
But I did see that at some point in the fourth quarter, in what was a single-digit game, there was a video review. And I just thought, we're doing video reviews against Louisiana Monroe from Germany. This is a thing.
I'll say this. I know sometimes the tone of this show can be pessimistic because my co-host... kind of doesn't really like basketball.
Hey, I'm a basketball guy.
I am concerned, but I am also really rooting hard for Scoot, okay? If he does this start season and this is kind of what we get, physically he looks the part.
He always has.
I'm calling out my buddy Mike Richmond. You cannot in good conscience talk about how good Scoot was when he plays a second-tier German team that no. nobody's heard of.
No, you cannot.
I am sorry. No. I know you have to do a podcast every day. I love you. I listen all the time. No. Stop it right now.
That's a no-counties. That's like if that Bryce Young would have had a game in game, even though the Panthers decided to not play him, which was a great idea on their part. If he would have had like game two of the preseason against a bunch of third stringers on one of the worst teams in the NFL and had like an 8 of 9 performance and people ran with that, Bryce Young looking pretty good.
That, yeah. Yes.
And that's even too yes. extreme because he's still playing another NFL team and you were playing a team from Germany last night.
Yes. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Enough.
I'm ready for next Wednesday. I'm ready. Opening night. Let's go.
Do it against Steph.
Do it against Steph, then I'm a believer.
By the way, he's not going to be in the lineup. It might be Tumani as the two.
I mean, I'd be okay with that. Ant and Scoot in the starting lineup makes literally no sense.
The generational third pick in the draft. I mean, I'd bench again. You're okay with that. Okay.
I'd prefer to him to be in the starting lineup, but how does him and
we
Ant...
We traded Damian Lillard for that guy.
We did, yeah. Okay. You sound like dirt right now. Look
no,
at you.
I'm just a little upset.
You can't start him and Ant. You can't do it.
Why?
Because they...
what, you'll lose? What's the goal? I don't care.
Does it put him in a position to succeed, Brandon Sprague?
Give him the ball.
Look at us.
Tell Ant to get out of the way.
I feel like this is a Freaky Friday right now. We got role reversals.
No, I'm excited for the
season.
You're
going to call out Jody, too? You're going to throw a penguin bone joke in there, too?
I'm excited for the season. I might be at opening night.
Hey,
I'm contemplating coming in very cranky and tired on a
Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Talking about a 20-point loss to the Warriors.
Or 20-point win.
Hey, let's go.
No, it was all jokes aside, it was a big night for Sabrina Ionescu, who had the go-ahead... basically game-winning shot last night. She was not having a good game going into the fourth quarter. And then she caught fire. She had a nice dish inside the paint. She had a big three. They came all the way back. Third largest deficit in the WNBA Finals the Liberty had last night. Stewart was great. Sabrina turning it on in the fourth quarter. And she hits the go-ahead shot for the Liberty.
8 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of game three. 4 seconds. Ionescu will heave and hit! And hit! Sabrina Ionescu with the biggest shot in Liberty history!
Were you quacking?
I was quacking last
night. She was wearing the duck shoes.
She was. I had actually forgot that this game was happening and then saw an alert on Twitter that they were down by 15 or something like that in the first half.
Yes.
And then I remember the end of the show segment yesterday, and I thought the Liberty are the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to get me to be intrigued in this game was
to
got to gamble on
it. Hey, that's okay.
And I went and found Liberty money line down by like 13, I think,
what
in the first half. Plus 210, I want to say.
See, down 13 plus 210 may tell you like, okay.
There's still a chance here.
Now, did you end up Venmoing me any of those winnings?
Because
you don't bet the Liberty. I mean, I knew.
I scouted the whole thing out. Right. They have the GOAT on their team.
Glad
and so
I popped into your head last
when you have the GOAT on your team, you usually end up winning big games.
Does that count as a spraying line win for me?
What happens when you start knocking down logo threes late in the game, baby. My only question is when they win the WNBA championship.
Yeah, they're one game away.
One game away, which only a 5-game series. Interesting
it's
in the finals.
It's going to 7 next
year. I know. Interesting. Do we get to claim that? Is that a claimable thing? Because she should have a national championship from the COVID year. We should have won one that year. Taken away from us. I think I'm counting this.
What are you, an Expos fan in 94? I think I'm had a World Series.
I'm counting this.
Why don't you prove it?
Number one seed would have been the number one seed.
What I find interesting is her shoe sales are the best of all the women's shoe sales. And we know that she's popular. She's famous. I told my wife this because my wife is just now starting to watch this stuff with my daughter. She wasn't quite what Caitlin was, but she was building to it going into that tournament. And had they won the national championship,
it would have been loud.
You would have wondered if it would have been pretty close to that same level. And then she goes to WNBA and she's good, but it didn't quite start out the way that many thought. And then she's built it up. Second team all NBA this year. And she made a joke about that in the post game. But I enjoyed this answer in the post of like, what made you just confident to take that shot?
I trust in my preparation. I'm built for this moment. I missed one that could have sealed the game, and I just got an open look, and I trusted that I can make it. My teammates got me open, and God, it feels good to get a win.
She was good, man. I love that mentality. I'm built for this. Telling yourself you're built for that.
I'm ready for the moment. That was a deep three, too. It was similar to the Lillard stuff where there was like 10 seconds left on the clock, I think, when they inbounced it. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, are we going to do something here? Are we going to run a play? Are we going to do anything? Now, it was a tie game, so if you don't hit it, it's whatever.
It's
you overtime. Go to overtime. But there was a lot of dribbling out near midcourt with like 5, 4. Like, we got to go. We got to go. And then they knocked down a long three. And you're like, okay, I never doubted you. Great shot.
Remember when Kenny Smith got mad that she had to shoot the same distance as Steph. I was like, this ain't fair.
I do.
She don't shoot these far.
I do remember that.
She shot that behind the NBA line.
That was a deep three.
One game away.
Very cool moment for her, man. That was awesome. And it sounds like, I obviously haven't been glued to the entire thing, but the people that I follow, and I know you guys have talked about this, the WNBA finals have been awesome.
They've been good.
Big comeback in game one. They blew the lead last night. They were down by, what, 18, you said? One of the biggest comebacks in finals. 15, yeah. One of the biggest finals comebacks ever. So it's been a good series so far.
You know, the other part of that is I watched a lot of this game because I was watching the LCS. It was a good game most of the way, and then blew out the Mets. The Mets got skunked.
Another shutout.
Yeah.
Can't trust that Dodger pitching staff, man. It's 4 shutouts in their last 5 games.
Yamamoto on the bump today?
Dude, Walker Buehler, questionable.
Is it Yamamoto?
Yamamoto's going today against Quintana.
So if they blank the Mets again.
5th shutout in 6 games.
Well, most Yamamoto's ERA in like the first 2 innings is over 6. Yeah, if you get through the first inning or two.
Just blanked the Padres with Yamamoto.
You did,
What are we doing? I understand all this.
What are we doing?
What's going on here?
He's just always going to live in fear until they actually have the trophy in their hands.
Got a $1 billion payroll over there, and he's running scared, man. You got Shohei. Shohei hit maybe the furthest home run that I have ever seen last night.
Bomb,
that was
dude.
That was like only the only just thing I've seen that far is Bonds hit against the Angels in 02 when he was roided out of his mind.
He can't hit when the bases are empty.
Who cares?
Look what he's doing when the people are on the bases.
That's what I'm saying. Get some dudes on base. That's what's the discussion.
He's weirdly being criticized in some of these games of like, where's Ohtani? I'm like, every time I watch, he's got somebody on, he hits him in.
Yeah.
What are we complaining about here?
There's talk of dropping him in the order simply because he's leading off.
So get somebody, get Mookie
so
on.
So get Mookie on
and
or
then hit him in.
Somebody on in front of him. And
I can't believe
him.
Freeman's playing. He's just limping to every base.
I don't
barely
know
move.
How bad that ankle hurts. It must just be awful looking.
Dude, baseball, Rob Manfred is sitting in those offices touching himself inappropriately
because
the Yankees and Dodgers are up right now.
And the other thing, too, was Kike Hernandez hit a big home run last night. And some of the stats that popped around of like who he's tied for in all-time Major League Baseball numbers.
Oh, I know.
It's just going to make you laugh and shit.
Like postseason homers?
Like postseason homers. He has like better numbers than Babe Ruth in the playoffs after that home run last night.
The equivalent is big shot Robert Ori.
Yes, that's a great analogy.
Just being a great playoff player.
Just clutch in the playoffs, and then during the regular season, he's kind of there. Yeah, he fills a role. He can do a lot of different things, but he's not taking 25 shots a night.
Mets and Guardians, give us better games, please.
Yes, show up. Show up today.
All right, let's get to the dirty poll. Everybody's been waiting. What's the dirty poll shake out the top 12 in college football is next. All right, welcome back in 6:36. Dan Lanning having to change the mood from this to that.
Yeah.
Good to that coming up.
What's our message for the show today? Do we have a mantra for the show?
Oh, that's a
we
good
need one,
one
of those every single day.
Yeah, because last week it was jabs, right? Yeah. This jab, right?
You gotta throw your jabs good enough, buddy.
And when you're set up, you hit that knockout. I liked that message.
Could be a dirty big pee-pee. That's our message today.
Can I tell you a dirty secret?
Go ahead.
In my 2 years of coaching experience for sixth and fifth grade girls basketball.
How are your motivational speeches?
No, this is a real thing. Coaches have to come up with this stuff all the time. I was constantly searching and thinking of like messages for the week.
Yeah, motivational things that you could use.
Yeah, just little things for your message. You know, like, hey, this is how we stay focused.
I like that.
Yeah.
How did it work with the team?
Relatively well.
Yeah.
The one game, it didn't go well. Our team completely overlooked an opponent that we had clobbered.
See, that's my fear on Friday.
And we lost.
You should have gone with Lanning's messaging, and maybe you would have won. You got to have the right, when you're playing a down opponent, you got to have the right messaging to bring the energy.
Yeah, I know. But you got to give your athletes grace, too. Sometimes you're never going
to
be perfect.
Sometimes you lose to Vanderbilt, you know?
So we'll get to that coming up. I'm diving into that little NFL action. We got Bo Nix on TV tonight.
We do. The Sean Payton return game. It's a really good weekend of NFL football. Really good matchups.
This is a good matchup?
No, not this one. I'm saying in the overall weekend landscape, good matchups. Not tonight, though. I will watch because, you know, but no, not super excited.
Saints need a number one wide receiver. Remember when I was saying that? You guys all called me crazy.
They did, yeah.
They don't have one tonight.
Are you throwing two tonight, huh?
Rattler.
Where are you going with that football? Run! Run!
So we'll get to some NFL action, kind of the slate for the weekend as we move closer to a football Friday. And I got something in the Heisman race I want to get to, but it is time. We've delayed enough.
No more delaying.
Dirty poll action.
I'm motivated. I'm ready to throw my jabs.
Yes.
Ready to get my punches going.
The top 12 in college football as seen by one, Andy Dirt Johnson.
See if I do it right this time. I usually end up screwing this up somehow, and I go out of order, and I'll give you the right matchup. So I'm going to try and do this the right way today. We'll see if we can remember to do that.
What is the right way?
I'm going to give you the top four. Who are the byes?
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you your matchups. Okay. So seed versus seed, seed versus seed, seed versus seed.
Okay.
Top four, there is a slight change. Now, not at number one. You asked this poll question on Saturday night. Who's the number one team in the country? Does Oregon deserve to be it?
Mm.
And I think they have a strong argument, but they also have close wins over Idaho and Boise State, and therefore Texas, I think, still deserves that spot. The Michigan win has lessened and lessened and lessened as the weeks have gone on, but they're the only team that hasn't really shown a vulnerability yet. Now, maybe they do this weekend. They got Georgia. We'll see how that game goes. A lot of people love Texas this weekend. For now, they're still the number one team in the country. Oregon, after the win over Ohio State, they have the front, the inside track to win the Big Ten because of the head-to-head win over Ohio State. They slide up to number two. I am staying strong in my stance on the ACC. I think Clemson's the best team in the ACC, and I don't even know if it's close. They don't play Miami in the regular season. If those two teams played right now, I can't even tell you how much money I would want to bet on Clemson to win that game. I trust them a lot. I love the way their offense is playing. They're blowing everybody out. Clemson's number three. Iowa State with another win on the road. Still undefeated. And they are your number one team in the Big 12 right now. So your top four, Texas, Oregon, Clemson, Iowa State, first-round byes in the Dirty Poll College Football Playoff. We go to our first-round matchups. Home sites. Ohio State lost the game by 1 point on the road. They're still an unbelievable team. They still might end up winning the Big Ten. They're still one of the best teams in the country. They come in at number five. Boise State remains your at-large team at number 12. So your first-round playoff matchup, Boise State going on the road to Columbus. See if you can stop Ashton Gentry, Buckeyes. And that is a round one matchup. Number six, we went through the head-to-head stuff last week. I think Georgia's better than Alabama. A close loss. They erased a 28-point deficit. Damn near won the game. They remain at number six for me. A big-time game for them this weekend down in Austin. They're number six. Number 11 in the Dirty Poll is a team who had a bye this past weekend, but I still believe is playing really good football, and that is Texas A&M. So you get an SEC game in the first round of the playoffs between two teams who I don't believe play each other in the regular season. Your 7 versus 10 matchup will be Penn State, who did win this weekend at USC, but I wasn't overly impressed by that performance. I know USC's better at home.
That was a real road trip.
It's a real road trip against a 3-3 football team. Congratulations, who can't play defense and lost to Minnesota.
They were down 20-6 at halftime.
Don't get down 20-6 to USC. They can't play defense, and you scored 6 points in the first half. They don't have a body over 300 pounds on their defense. They get Ohio State in 2 weeks. That's when we'll find out who Penn State is. I'm not there yet. They are taking on a newcomer into the Dirty Poll. We have one team out, one team in this week. The LSU Tigers are back. They beat a ranked Ole Miss team at home in overtime this weekend. Tennessee is the team that is out because they didn't score a point in the first half at home against a bad Florida team. So you get Penn State hosting LSU as the 10 seed, and then your 8 versus 9 matchup is the Alabama Crimson Tide hosting the Miami Hurricanes. So you go Texas,
wait,
Oregon.
What's your matchup with Miami?
Alabama hosting in the 8-9. Miami in the 8-9. So you go 1 through 12. You go Texas, Oregon, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Penn State, Alabama, Miami, LSU, Texas A&M, and Boise State.
Okay.
There is your week eight dirty poll.
Can I just say, though, I can't believe I'm defending Penn State here.
Defend Penn State.
Well, like, you're not impressed. I get that you don't think USC is a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. I'm there with you. We've been critical on Lincoln this week. You go, like, that's one of the furthest trips you can take the entire sport.
It's a long trip.
It's an obvious get right, be at home, win this game because we're desperate spot for USC. You're the most trendy upset pick of the weekend.
You are.
You were down 20-6.
You were.
And you're not impressed that they came back and won that. I feel like if that had been Oregon doing the reverse against an East Coast team,
who's a 3-3 team
say,
in the Big Ten?
I'm just saying, like,
or you know who's 3-3 right now?
Okay,
Michigan State.
Yeah, that's you know USC's better than Michigan State. I don't think that's a good comp.
You know who's 3-3? Maryland.
My point is, had Oregon done that in the reverse and it was the same scenario?
Yeah.
I don't think you're not saying, like, hey, my team was in an obvious, like, lose spot.
Sure.
They were losing by double digits, and they came back and won. I don't like to defend Penn State. It's gross for me. I'm going to defend Penn. That was a tough spot to be in.
And that's why they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
They're in the playoff.
You just said not impressive.
If I had a neutral site game right now between Penn State and Georgia, who am I picking to win that game?
Well, that's not what we're talking about.
It is, though, because this is
you
projecting
just said
forward.
You it wasn't impressive. I'm just
talking this
about
the This is projecting
impressive.
Forward of yeah. How, where do I think teams will be at the end of the year. And Penn State does not have a quality win. In my mind, Illinois is their best win of the year. And I don't think Illinois is a fine team. I don't think they're an elite team. And outside of that, they went on.
USC is a quality win?
USC's fine. They're okay. Are we going to pretend like USC's a juggernaut? They lost to Minnesota the week before.
You didn't say juggernaut when you said quality.
They're 3-3 on the year. They might be 7-5 this year. Can we stop pretending like that's some great win?
All right. Okay.
We'll see what they do in 2 weeks against Ohio State.
I didn't see Missouri in this ranking.
No, they're not in this ranking anymore. They're out.
Why do you got the Colt in there? I don't want A&M in this.
I don't either, but I'm trying to project forward where I think this is going to be at the end of the year. I don't think Penn State's going to beat Ohio State.
Your Clemson-Miami stuff's building, too.
Oh, it's building. It's absolutely building.
I can't wait for them to play.
Zero. They don't play until the ACC,
title game.
So hopefully that ends up being the matchup. It's hard to see it being any other matchup than that.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't trust Miami right now, and I think Clemson's playing really good.
Did he get it right? I put it out on Twitter. You can vote there with the buys, the matchups in the first round, all of that. There's the dirty poll. What is it, week 8?
Week 8.
God, it's flying by. Week 8 of the dirty poll. We have a lot to get to, and we'll get to it next on The Fan. You know, a good point here on Twitter. Oregon should be number one. Texas hasn't played anybody. For your whole argument you make on some of these teams of, like, who have they played, who has Texas played?
They don't have a great win on their resume. I grant you that.
So why does Penn State get punished for it, but Texas doesn't?
Well, it's a Penn State punishment thing just because I don't think Penn State is that good, primarily, to be honest with you. And I'm trying to project towards the end of the season. So do I think Penn State's going to be one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the country? The answer is no. I think they're the same version of the team that they've been. They're very good. They're good enough to beat almost everybody, but they're not elite, and that's how I feel about them. The Texas argument is valid, but let's also not overlook the fact that Oregon almost lost to Idaho and Boise State. Like that, if you're going to do the entire resume thing of who is Texas beat, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Then you have to do the entire resume thing for Oregon. They looked horrible in 2 of their 6 games. Now, they won them. Thank God they did. But you can't just snapshot it right now and say, well, Oregon has a better win than Texas. They do, but that will go away this weekend also if Texas beats Georgia.
So Gabriel and Oregon get the win this past weekend, and Gabriel's now been launched back up into the Heisman conversation.
He was awesome in that game. He's right. You should be.
ESPN did a college football vote on this with experts all over the country, and the percentage
that Ashton Jainty runs away with in this poll is, it's kind of eye-opening.
As it should be. Right now, there's...
You don't think it's a close race?
I think it's a two-person race right now, but it's like 80 to 20, and it's Ashton Jainty number one and Travis Hunter number two.
Oh, see, Hunter leaving that game early against Kansas State, I think, hurts him a lot. Now, he's going to play, and yesterday he was he did an interview with RG3 and said something to the effect, I was a little surprised by this because he's usually pretty good at not doing this, but he basically said something to the effect of, like, he's a running back. Running backs do this. We see this all the time. He's not doing what I do. Yeah. And I was a little surprised to hear him say that, because it's not that I don't think he has confidence in himself. It's just he's not kind of one of those guys. He's like in your face, kind of like saying the thing that makes you go, what? I don't like that guy.
Yeah, for all of his success, he's actually been very humble.
Very humble.
Yeah.
Seems like a good leader in the locker room for Colorado. And yesterday he kind of came out and basically bragged about himself. But Gabriel's launched himself back in this conversation, in the all-too-early Heisman conversation. But I'm wondering, like, if Jainty just continues to dominate all these opponents and go look at their schedule, why would he not?
He should.
Might have a Boise State Heisman winner, and it's just not something at all that was on my radar this year.
I mean, to the point of the year that he is having, they played Hawaii late at night on Saturday. They struggled a little bit in that game. They ended up winning it 28-7. I don't believe they covered the spread, or maybe it was 20.5 and they ended up covering. And the talking point kind of out of that game was that he had a down performance. Like, that was one of the narratives that was floating around at about halftime of that game when it was like 10-7. His final stat line was 31 carries for 217 yards and a touchdown. He also had a touchdown reception as well. That was his first touchdown catch of the year. He has 18 total touchdowns. They have played six games, and he has 1,200 yards. So he's on pace for nearly 36 total touchdowns, 37 total touchdowns, and 2,500 rushing yards is what he's on pace for. He is on just a historic run right now.
Break the record.
Like, we have seen great running backs, to Travis Hunter's point. Yes, there have been running backs that have put up awesome numbers. We've never quite seen somebody do it to this clip. And this, by the way, is with two games this year in which he's only played the first half.
Yeah.
He only played the first half against Utah State. He had 186 yards and three touchdowns. And he only played the first
13 carries.
13 carries. Yeah. And he only played the first half against Portland State. And he had only had 127 yards in that game. If he would have played, he probably only played the first quarter in that game. If he would have played the entirety of both those games and they had a tougher schedule that forced him to play that, yes, maybe there's a knockback a little bit on the total yardage, but he's not having two games with 11 carries and 13 carries.
I think I have this right because I watched all of game day last weekend in Eugene. Stanford Steve did his poll, his I don't know if it's the Aflac question or whatever, and it was, who was the last non-power conference player to be at the Heisman ceremony?
To be at the Heisman ceremony?
Yeah, and I guessed this wrong, and I was reminded about a name.
Huh.
Can you guess this?
Last non-power conference guy.
I think I have this right. I hope I'm saying that. If text, please can be on me if I'm wrong on this, but I think I have this answer
right. I mean, the
first
one that kind of pops into my mind, I'm trying to think of like those Cincinnati teams. I don't think they had a finalist. Like, Colt Brennan would be the first name.
That was my guess, was Colt Brennan.
Yeah.
Reese guessed Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore's not a bad guess.
I don't think he got there because the answer was Jordan Lynch of NIU.
Was a Heisman finalist?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I can't remember what year that was.
Like, he was in New York?
I think so. I hope I have this right.
Okay.
Text police, you're like, no, you idiot. That's not what the answer was.
I don't even remember Jordan Lynch at NIU. Am I wrong on that?
Remember they got to that bowl game and they got housed?
I mean, was it a big bowl game? Should I remember that?
It was like one of the New Year's games.
Okay.
You don't remember that season from NIU?
Not really, no. That's not ringing a bell. That was 2010 through 2013.
Let me look. I want to verify this now.
His best passing yard year was in 2000. His last 2 years, he had 25 touchdowns and six picks and 24 touchdowns and eight picks. So maybe he went crazy as a runner. Yeah, he did. He had like 1,800 and 1,900 rushing yards. So maybe he was a finalist one of those 2 years.
Let me make sure I have
But I don't remember 2012 NIU very well. That's not ringing a bell a ton for me.
It was 2013.
2013, okay.
Yeah, he was the last one.
He rushed for nearly 2,000 yards that year.
He single-handed. Yeah. You don't remember that season?
I don't remember.
Swag, you remember that year? I know that's random. And I
vaguely
remember that.
I can't remember who they played in that bowl game, but they got destroyed.
I'll see if I can pull that.
Because it was a one man team. It kind of felt like it was a dream season for them, right. But kind of a one-man show.
I mean, if you're making it from a smaller school, that's basically what it is.
But like, Janty's probably going to win this thing.
And that would be really cool. It'd be really cool for the Northwest. It'd be really cool.
Oh, Northwest. You're claiming the Northwest thing there.
I am. A little, for Boise State to win a Heisman Trophy? Like, that'd be badass.
Northwest pride?
I mean, we already got one, so we don't need another
one. But Idaho wants to steal us.
Idaho does want to steal us. That is true. I'm trying to look up football season to see who they play. I'll get to it on the other side.
Yeah, other side of the break. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Dan Lanning having to change, you know, kind of what his team was, but now is. We'll get to that in the second hour of the show. The NFL slate this weekend, underrated, really good. Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.